Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click.
Click, 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 click.
Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Today, let's talk more regulation and legislation for IT services providers. Carl Polachuk, known for his books on managed services, has proposed some legislation. Let's talk about what that is on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. So obviously, this is different for you and I. We co-host a podcast today, but today I want to talk to you. You've put forth a proposed set of legislation focused on IT services providers. Can you give me an overview of what's in that proposed legislation for those who may not have read it yet?
The big pieces, first of all, is to have some sort of registration of IT service providers. And the reason that I think that's useful is so that we can begin to divide into whether you should or should not be part of the liability equation when it comes to something like a ransomware attack. So another piece is that that database should be maintained by the state and should be searchable by the public, so business owners would know who they're hiring. Part of what we want to do is to limit liability. And, you know, people always say, well, if your client won't buy this security service or that firewall, have them sign something that relieves you of liability. Well, that has absolutely no effectiveness legally, right? Liability is not a thing you can sign away by two people agreeing to something. So the insurance companies are starting to see that they are paying out massive amounts of money that they did not expect to pay out. So part of what we want to do is say, we'll create circumstances under which you can be relieved of liability. For example, some IT service providers only sell phones, or they only sell some small piece of the operation. They're not responsible for security or backup or disaster recovery, so they should be relieved of liability for that. Also, there should be a process where we are required to offer the services the clients need, whether they know that or not. And if they turn us down, that's cool. There's a process legally to be relieved of liability. And finally, I think there's a heavy component of us needing to partner with the insurance industry to promote this. It will help them and it will help us. And I think in general, we need as an industry to become more professional. And I think this will help with that.
So I'm going to then ask, the proposed legislation is only 7 pages, right? It's pretty short. Is that enough?
Well, while I would love to write a 10,000 page, document that is too complicated to enforce, I really think minimalism is important. It should just focus on what it needs to be. The other thing is, I'm not a lobbyist. I'm not a legislator. I'm not a lawyer. This is spelling it out in clear English, language, and we'll see what happens. They say a camel is a horse that went through committee. So those committees are in state legislatures.
Fair enough. So then in the legislation, you create a barrier of entry, providing being someone in good standing and registered. How does one enforce good standing in the context of laws like this?
So what I would imagine is that we'll call it Secretary of State, but it might be the Bureau of Public Affairs or Commerce or whatever. I can imagine saying, well, you need to have a business license. You need to be registered to do business in that state. You need to have insurance, liability insurance, and potentially cybersecurity insurance. Right. You need to have the things in place. And eventually, and I don't think our industry is ready for this yet, but eventually there should be some kind of certification that says you actually know what you're doing. Right. I mean, when we hire an accountant, there's a process. I don't have to understand to know that accountant is registered with the state. They actually have to go through some continuing education. They have to have some idea what my taxes mean. Right. I don't have to know that stuff, but they do.
Okay. So that's would be the context of how that evolves and gets enforced. Now, one of the things you've explicitly put in the proposed legislation is backups as a requirement. You've explicitly called out that they must offer backup as a service. I agree. For me, that's just of course they do, but we both know that doesn't. But doesn't something like that also need teeth for it to be effective? Or is it just as simple as stating the requirement? Help me understand how that's effective in legislation.
Well, one of the things that I think you don't want to do in legislation is to be too specific about exactly what that means, right? Because as an industry professional, what's appropriate for one client may not be appropriate for another. And the technology that you implement today will not be the same as what you implement 5 years from now. But at the end of the day, when you look at any of these monster ransomware attacks, if somebody could push a button and get a company back in business in 24 hours, the effect of the ransomware attack would be minimized. And so just being able to say, look, you can't not be aware of this, right? It's sort of like, you have to offer these services, and the clients, if they're conscious about it and they turn you down, well, then they can't hold you responsible for the effects of not being able to recover.
Okay. So then the other piece that you are explicit about in the proposed legislation is the idea of notification requirements of breaches. Walk me through a little bit where your head is at on that requirement.
It's interesting. So one of the comments that somebody sent to me was, well, we already have all of these different requirements for reporting and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think most small business owners know that those requirements exist. And as you've seen, a lot of companies are reluctant to report things that's going to make them look bad in terms of PR or look bad to their clients and so forth. So somebody has to do this reporting. And I think it's necessary primarily because we don't really have a sense of how big this problem is, but I guarantee it's bigger than what we think it is. It's bigger than what's currently visible.
Okay. And so that makes sense to me. Now, you've got a background in actual public policy. And a lot of people know you, of course, from your IT work and your books and all that kind of stuff, but you've got a background in public policy. Help those who aren't familiar with this process understand how How does proposed legislation get used as a next step? It's not just declare it. What happens with it now?
Well, in a perfect world, we'll have a volunteer from every state and every province who will come forward and say, I will take this, and they might make their proposed changes to it, put their flavor on it, if you will, and then go to their state legislature and say, I want to talk to somebody who does this, right? Which committees deal with technology, with insurance and so forth, and maybe even criminal. It's going to be different in every state, but it's a place to start the conversation. One of the things that happens, and you've seen this with pretty much everything across the board, whether it's gun control or pollution or anything else, an incident in the news can suddenly make legislators jump up and propose legislation, which often doesn't directly affect the problem or would not have prevented the incident, but it makes everybody feel good that they passed legislation. And if we have something ready so that when somebody says, hey, we need legislation, at least we get a seat at the table. And that's the important part, because insurance companies have a seat at the table. Big vendors who sell this software have a seat at the table. Your clients, small business clients, don't have a seat at the table, and small business consultants don't currently have a seat at the table.
Okay, so there's something almost in that word currently, because I would say, don't we need a lobbying organization in order to do that? Like, wouldn't we need some organization advocating on behalf of this?
What a coincidence. So I'm trying to start an organization, which is not, it's not entirely just for lobbying, but it's a place to begin organizing it and having this discussion. And I fully admit there will be people who will show up simply to say, we should not be legislated. We should have no legislation. That's also part of the conversation, right? So, but yes, so I have this organization that we're starting to get organized, and we're having a meeting later in January, in July, to actually begin this conversation. Luckily, several people have already put their hands up and said, I'll volunteer for this state or that state. And one person just made a comment about, oh, don't forget Canada. And my response was, of course not. We, you know, it needs to be something that is all over. We'll start in North America, but it needs to be in the UK and Australia as well.
Okay. So what's the, tell me about the organization itself. What are you proposing then as the organization?
So I called it the National Society for IT Service Providers. And basically, it's a place to start. I want to put up materials, for example, like a video that will describe what is ransomware, what is an RMM from the MSP's perspective, so that news organizations can see that and they will get these little snippets. Also, I'm creating talking points for IT service providers so that maybe they could talk to their local media and say, okay, what is ransomware? Why are we doing this? Why do you guys need this tool that seems to be so dangerous? And, you know, we need our side of that story, because otherwise you just have talking heads who really don't know our industry, but they have to fill a show with talk. Right. So they've got opinions. They're just not very well educated. Again, I just think we need to have our voice be part of this conversation.
Okay. And obviously this is not a company. This is more an association, right? Of people coming together and it'll be structured theoretically more like that. Are you still figuring out the structure?
Yeah, we are still figuring out the structure. Again, it partly depends on who shows up at the meeting. But, you know, I discovered a long time ago, if you hold a meeting and you have an agenda, it's amazing that things can actually begin moving. And people say, oh, well, it's impossible or it's too big of a task. Okay, maybe, but we have to try. And if we all fall down and fail, that's cool too. I've failed before. But it's a place to start. And right now we're just saying, hey, join up, get on the list, participate. We've got a little forum there, but we've also got, you know, Amy Babinchak created the regulation and legislation group over on Facebook. So we've got places to have this discussion in Zoom meetings, but also online in forums. We just want to get people in there. We're not charging anything for it, of course, And partly we want to get as many people joined up as possible so we can say we represent X number of managed service providers or whoever. You know, that goes a long ways with lobbyists.
Well, sure. That's how this all starts. And I'll channel Hamilton for a moment there, is you need to be in the room where it happened for this to matter. So, Carl, I'll include links for everybody in terms of that. I'll check back in with you then after the meeting and we'll see what our next steps are. Does that make sense?
That would be great.
Great.
Well, and thank you for your support. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. So for anybody who's interested, the links will be in the description and in the show notes, and you can sign up and get more information there. Carl, how do people, what, do you want to talk a little bit about the website and how they can register itself?
Yeah, it's just nsitsp.org. And right there is the thing that says, get involved, join the conversation. And we don't ask for a bunch of information. We don't put you on a bunch of lists. But we do put you on the one list that allows you to be invited to the meetings and so forth.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Want to reach our listeners? MSPradio.com/engage.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.